Thank you. something about that name. Amen. The Bible tells us that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Only in the name of Jesus Christ. And happy are we to know that. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. God bless you. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Right? Amen. It's just like I've said many times, we want to make him a guest of honor, and we're the ones that have to do that. We want to make him welcome. And so that's what we want to do this morning. And I know that you will. And Brother Daniel's going to be speaking the word of God to us this morning. And so we just look forward to what the Lord has on his heart. And I know just in speaking to him slightly back there that it sounds like he's just in the same channel I am, so we expect that to be that way. So we're looking forward to that this morning. I had some prayer requests just wanted to bring to you, so we could just take them to the Lord in prayer. And let me remind you that the weakest Christian when they pray, right? The weakest Christian when they pray, that gets God's attention, right? It makes Satan tremble. And so, because, you know, Satan looks at this one and he knows, why is it that the weakest? Why is it that the weakest Christian can pray and make the devil tremble? Because he knows that God answers prayer. He knows that God has made that way for us. And he knows that no matter who you are, when you start praying, God starts listening. And Satan knows that if God listens to that prayer and makes a move on behalf of that request, it's over with for Satan in that matter. And so I want you to remember that as we pray for these requests this morning. Brother Tim Schultz's wife, Joanna, he's the pastor there in Noel. She has circulation problems in her leg, and she's had problems with this for quite some time. A big battle with surgeries and things like that. I don't know the complete history, but she's still having some troubles with it, and it's really getting to be, it's a pretty much a life-threatening situation. They ask that we would pray, not just me, not just Brother Daniel, but the church as a whole, that we would pray over that request. Sister Joanna, also, her dad has got kidney stones, and they ask that we would pray over that situation also. My son Benjamin is sick this morning. I know he's felt bad all week long, and he feels bad today. So I ask that you would pray for him. Sister Pansy has put a request in also, and this is for herself. It says that she has a pain in her right side. And so we're going to believe God as we pray over these requests. Also, be in prayer for our midweek service. We start this week, Thursday night. The Lord has spoken to me specifically on where to start. And so we're going to start in the book of Ephesians. And I don't know that it would be a Bible study type session, but at least for sure, to start teaching and ministering specifically from the scriptures, because it has become very important to me that you be able to go back to the Bible for every doctrine and everything that we believe. And so that's what we want to do. We want to take everything and go right back to the scriptures and let you begin to build a foundation or build upon the foundation you have of scriptural backing for anything and everything that we believe. Also, thank you for your prayers and for me in traveling this last week. Turned out that the week was not really so much a physical trip as it was a spiritual trip. The Lord really blessed Brother Marcus, and we went down, was in service with Brother Gerald Hughes, and the Lord really blessed our time down there. He asked me to take the service, and I spoke what was the Lord had put on my heart, and it really gripped the brother, really shook him and his assistant. They felt like that the things that I had on my heart that I would like to see, people grasping in their life, that's the same thing that was on his heart too. And he has asked me if I would consider coming back and holding some services for him again. And, as a church, I know we are a body, and it is our responsibility to take this gospel, not just to our own, but out to the world, out to the missions field and outside of our borders, but also here within this nation. And I don't want to be selfish with what God has given us. I don't want to say, Brother Daniel, you can't go out. I don't think we should be selfish. I think that if the Lord opens doorways for us to go out and touch other peoples, other assemblies also, then I think we should. There is a proper form of that, especially if the pastor of that other assembly is present, then that makes it okay. And so, but what I want you to be praying about, because this is a ministry, this is where we're headed as a church, to get out and get involved in missions work, not just overseas. Brother Bram said the greatest place in the world, he knew they needed missions work was right here in this nation right here. And so, you know, when we are established, you got to take care of your own backyard before you start trying to mow somebody else's. But he is very sincerely, very gripped, asked me to prayerfully consider that. And so I'm asking you to also be in prayer about that, that this would be something that you could, another way that you could reach out to us. And some of you probably know Brother Hughes. He's a very precious brother, came into the message in about 1968. And so he's on up in age, but he's a very, very humble, sweet brother. And I believe that, that what he's asking is something that is a very, very, comes very sincerely from the depths of his heart. So let's take these needs to the Lord in prayer as we bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together today. Lord, we know that the time that we have right here is something, Lord, that you have specifically prepared for us, God, that you could speak to our hearts. And Lord, we, by your grace and by your mercy, we have set aside this time, and we've set aside the cares of life to come here, Lord, and just to be in your program and to be in the midst of the word this morning. We ask, God, that you would just come, Lord, let your presence come. Move up and down the aisles, Lord, and speak to every heart, Lord. God, that you, that our mind and our thinking go out, Lord, and that you would come in, Lord, with the word of God, with the strictness of your word where it needs to be strict, and the gentleness of your word where it needs to be gentle. Lord, that you just let your Holy Spirit drop into the service, Lord, and lead us and guide us in this life and this walk, Lord, because this field that is before us, Lord, there's much to do and there's much needs in the world. And God, we want to just be up and at your program, Lord. And so we pray that you just bless the people today. Take these requests, God, each one that we have looked upon and spoke about this morning, Lord, the ones that are sick. God, we know that you are the great healer. Lord, that even before time was, you settled the question about healing, the question about salvation, and you settled it way back then. And Lord, we are beneficiaries today. And so we ask, God, that you would move upon these requests and bring healing where it needs to be. We pray, God, that you would lead us and guide us in the decisions and in the midweek service. Everything, Lord, we commit it into your hands. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Taking your life will never be the same. There is only one. Just believe.
custody when you call on His name.
Amen. It's one of those songs that's kind of hard to end. You just want to keep singing it over and over again.
That's right, brother.
Tell you what, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I say, God bless you. Appreciate you being at your post of duty. Because you know what? Your post of duty being here is just as important as mine, just as important as this brother, as anybody else. Brother Tony, we all have a position in this, and I thank you for being a post of duty. So God bless you. Go ahead and let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. I'm kind of excited about speaking this morning. Yesterday, I called Brother Tony just to talk to him, just to touch base, you know, about me speaking this morning. And as we were fellowship, and he started talking about some of the things I'm going to preach on. I said, well, brother, I'm at work. I got to go. I got to get off the phone. Get off the phone because I didn't want him, you know, I want it to be the Lord. I don't want this brother to be I thank God for those times, you know. It's a wonderful feeling whenever God can be dealing with your heart on something, and you go talk to somebody else and say, I tell you what, brother, God's been dealing with my heart on this. And I'm like, me too. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. I tell you what, it's great to be a Christian.
Amen.
There's nothing better. I may lose everything I've got, but I can't lose this.
That's right.
Amen. And that's a wonderful thing. That excites me about that. Ephesians 4:11 through 17. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a perfect measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Amen.
This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkness, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and God, I thank you, Lord, for being a son of God. Lord, it means more than anything in the world, Lord. Father, that I could know that, Lord, you are honored and proud to have me as your son, Father.
Yes.
Lord, not just me, but every son and daughter that is here this morning, Lord, and you're mindful of every need that we have, every burden that may weary our minds, God, I call in your name this morning and ask you that you'll manifest yourself among us today. Lord, help me to get myself out of the way. Lord, you know my weaknesses in my flesh and myself, oh God, I push those things to the side by faith now. And ask you to come and manifest yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. I want to speak to you on a little thought this morning on the compassion of the bride of Christ. You know, the compassion, what we would call compassion and what God calls compassion is two different kinds of compassions.
That's right.
You know, I can remember when Jesus was walking through a bunch of people that were lame, sick, laying down and dying. And he walked right past every one of them and went to one individual and brought healing to that one individual. Is that right? Now you would look at God and see the compassionate Jesus would surely go and heal every single one of them. But see, the compassion of God is doing the will of God.
That's right.
And you know what? That's what I want to see tonight, or this morning, is to see the will of God performed in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I want to read just a quote and kind of talking about healing. It says, look now. Look how simple all of our fine drugs we got today. There's not a drug in the world that can heal a simple knife cut in my hand. Did you know that? We haven't got a medicine that will heal a knife cut. If any medicine would heal the knife cut in my hand, it would heal the knife cut in my coat. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Why, you say, Brother Branham, that's getting radical. Well, it would heal the knife cut. What am I speaking of? Brother Branham, medicine was made for the body. That's correct. And not for the coat. That's correct. Now, we're going to find out who the healer is. Now we know that medicine was made for the body, but now, for instance, I'd cut my hand here and I would fall down dead on the platform. They could take me down to the Undertaker morgue. They had fluid. They could embalm my body. And they could look keep me there for 50 years. And he could send me to the Mayo's Clinic and let them dress my hand every day for 50 years. Put all the salve, the immunochromes, and the penicillin in my body that could be for 50 years from today. That cut would still be the same as it is this moment with the knife cut in it. Is that right? Is that right? You say, certainly, Brother Branham, the life went out of your body. Then I want to ask you, which is the healer? The medicine or life? Life, exactly. Well, if you'll tell me what will pull that out of you, the nature or God, I'll show you the part of you that is God. And I want to emphasize this right here. He's talking about a natural body. You can cut yourself and put medicine on that, but the medicine don't heal you. Do you believe that? So you could treat that thing and still not bring healing, because he's saying you can do it to the desk and it wouldn't bring life to the desk. The reason is there's no life in it.
Right.
And you know, for you to be healed, like if my shoulder was out of place, they would have to put the shoulder in place and then let God heal it.
That's right.
But you know what? There's nothing more sick in the world than the church that's become the bride of Jesus Christ, because they've been so mispositioned through the years. The Word had been taken out of its place. And people had begin to follow denomination, and all these things. And the Word was so far out of place, the church got sick. Is that right?
Right.
For any kind of healing, the first thing that's got to do is being taken place. And I want to start with David in 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you remember, God was working with Israel, and David came up with a new idea. He said, let's put the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart. He said, and we put on a new cart, he said, because it's a new thing. We've got God. We have everything. They put the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart, and people began to push the cart, and it was going over a hill, and the Ark of the Covenant began to fall down, and a man seen it fall, and he reached up and put his hand on to push it up. Sounded like a really good thing, don't it? You see the Ark of the Covenant fixing to fall to the ground, and this man steps out and grabs it and pushes it back up, and the man dies from that. The man died from that, from trying to do what looked like a good thing. But see, what it was is God put things in order for it to be a certain way, and man tried to do it his own way.
That's right.
And when he did that, he brought death. Saints of God, think about it. The Ark of the Covenant was real. The Ark of the Covenant was genuine. They had all the goods, all the right things, but they didn't do it the right way.
That's right.
And because they didn't do it the right way, they brought death. But you know what? They come to a time when David did a wonderful thing. David repented. I'd love to see more of that today. Amen?
Sorry.
More repenting. And you say, well, Brother Daniel, what is real repentance? Repentance is when you say, God, forgive me, and you get up and you walk away from that thing and don't go back.
That's right.
And then you say, but I keep falling. You fall down. You know what you do? You get back up. You repent. Say, God, forgive me. Get back in line and start walking again. Repentance. I'd love to see a whole lot more of that. You know, David repented, and because he repented, he went back to doing it the way God said do it, and God said put it on the shoulders of the Levites. Is that right? And said the Levites carry that thing, he said, because it's supposed to be in the heart of the believer. Saints of God, that's where the Ark of the Covenant's got to be, in the heart of the believer.
Right.
We've got the quotes, we've got all these things, but how about in the heart?
Right.
Because see, when we get it in the heart, saints of God, God can work in your life. God wants to work in your life, but it has to be in the heart. Not doing things because I'm afraid so-and-so might see me and maybe I won't be as religious as I might seem to be. You know what? I live in this flesh. How about you? I have to fight myself every day. How about you? I have to get up and see that ugly guy every day. I joke with my kids, my aunt, my daughter. I see her. I say, yeah, you're so pretty. You look just like your daddy. She's rolling her eyes. Truth be known, I'm one of the ugliest guys you've ever seen. I remember in school we had an art class. I used to be a bit of an artist. And in this art class we had a teacher said, what we're going to do now in this part of the class is you're going to pick somebody, a buddy, and you're going to draw that person. And so I picked up my individuals, and of course us guys were goofy, you know, so I draw a big nose and big teeth and all these different things. He said, now put those away and let's be serious about this. I want you to draw it, and I want you to pull out the characteristics that you see in that individual.
And you know what? I remember as I was drawing on this, I would bring out features, and as I began to really examine the person I was drawing, I began to see features I didn't see. I started seeing things around the eyes and different things. Like, you know what? He got a key. No, not really. But you see characteristics about them that's great characteristics. And then he said, I want you to go home and draw yourself. So we had to go home that night and look in the mirror and look at ourselves and draw yourself. And of course, you know, that's not good enough. Oh yeah, there we go. And you try to get a good look, to be perfectly honest, all I can see is flaws. When you look at yourself in that mirror, all you see is flaws. You see, I got a big nose, I got big ears, one ear's higher than the other. Literally they are, you have to get your glasses. I've seen every fault you can imagine. And we went into class and began to compare pictures, and then the instructor, the teacher, he drew a portrait. And whenever he drew his portrait, saints of God, he brought characteristics in me. I don't know what in the world he was looking at. But I seen that picture and I said, you know what, that's actually a pretty good picture. But you see, the point of that is we look at ourselves and we can see all our faults, all our failures. I can see one ear higher than the other and all these different things. But see, the instructor, he looks at something much greater. He looks at characteristics in us that we don't see. And there's something deeper inside that sense of God. It's the way we look at one another. Because you know what? We have all different characteristics that are greater than others. Some of us are good looking. Some of us are ugly. Some of us are big. Some of us are little. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short. But it's beyond those things. It's something deeper. It's the inward man. And when you can see the inward man in your brothers and sisters, and you can say, you know what, I see this sister's got a genuine love for the young people. And that's a wonderful thing. But you know what, I can draw that out of her. I can draw this out of her and make her the best Sunday school teacher she's ever seen. I can draw that. You say, how can you do that, Brother Daniel? Prayer. Prayer. Well, I can pray for our Sunday school teacher and have her such a burden she can't even sleep at night because she's praying for the young people. And she said, well, I don't know if I want you to do that or not. I kind of like my sleep. My pastor, I could cause that brother to where he can't lay his head on his pillow until my needs are met at church. Because God can get a hold of that man. Not because of the flesh, but because of the gift inside that man. Do you believe we have that power? That authority? Absolutely we do. We have the authority where you have needs in your heart. You can commit it to God and say, God, I need it right now. And you draw God, and God will wake that man up out of his sleep. I don't care if he's sleeping good. He'll wake up and he'll get on his knees and he'll start seeking God. Because God will meet your needs. Because what is it? It's God leading the church. And David, what it was is David got the word put back in its place, and it brought a revival for David. And not only did it bring a revival for David, it brought a revival for everybody that was under David. Is that right? Anybody ever read your Bible? Remember saying this? Just say amen if you do.
Amen.
So it makes it a lot easier. David brought a revival to the people, but the way he brought the revival is he repented and made things right. Who needs a revival this morning? I need a revival, saints of God. You know what? Because we fought in a battle on this thing, and David, when he repented, it made him so happy because he was back in the presence of God. David began to dance, he began to shout, he began to every six steps, I think it was, do a sacrifice. And he'd dance another little bit more and he'd do another sacrifice. His wife looked at him and said, that man is crazy. He has lost his mind. She thought he was insane. He was insane. But you don't leave us the way we are. It feels good this way.
That's right.
He got excited, saints of God, because he was back in the presence of God. I'm telling you what, when you get in the presence of God, you know what it is to be in the presence of God. And you let sin get in the way, and it's hell on earth, is what it is. You say, that's awful strong language. It's exactly what it is. It'd be even stronger when you get over there. David repented and it brought peace to him. It brought peace to his family other than his wife. And you know what? She laughed at David. She made fun of David. She said, that ain't nothing but a bunch of emotion. That ain't nothing but a bunch of this. And you know what? You say, Brother Daniel, that ain't nothing but a bunch of emotion you got up there. Come drink what I've got and see if
That's
you don't
right.
start doing it to
Amen.
Me. I'm telling you what, because it'll make you feel good. It'll make you do things you don't think you'll do.
That's right.
You know, I'm talking about your daily walk, sense of God, when you can be going to work, whatever you've got to do, because we got to do that. And I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to hit something real hard. You know what? Well, I was one of the most legalistic children you've ever... children, too. Father,
that you've ever seen. I wanted my children to be safe. I wanted them to be sound. I wanted to be protected. But you know what? I was so hard, I was strangling them because I wanted to protect them. It was a good cause. It was a good thing because I love my children. But you know what? We have a lot of kids that are sick today. And you know the reason they get sick so much is because mommy and daddy, or mostly mommy a lot of times, don't want the babies to get dirty. And those kids that want to go out there and play in the dirt and get the mud on them and stuff, and say, yo, get out of that mud, get out of that dirt and clean them up because they don't want the sons getting dirty. And they'll work so hard to keep them out of the dirt that those poor kids will get sick every time they turn around. You know why that is? Because when they're playing in that dirt, they'll pick up that dirt, stick it in their mouth and eat it. And you say, that's horrible, that's wonderful. You know why? Because that builds an immune system inside that boy and that girl. That way when those sicknesses do come, they're ready for it. Amen? Hey, who knows what I'm talking about? He's teaching us to tell our kids eat dirt. But you know what? Whenever they go do that, you let them go out there and play in that dirt. Let them have fun. Let them be boys.
Right.
And then when they come home to the table, you give them the nourishment they need. You give them the potatoes, the green beans. You give them a home-cooked meal, not a meal in a box. Come on, saints of God.
Right.
You say, Brother Daniel, what are you talking? I'm talking about home-cooked meals. And you know what? Home-cooked, where mommy and daddy can get on their knees at night and pray, and they can be a pastor over their home. Not just depending on Sunday, but I'm talking every day, saints of God.
Yeah.
Where we can walk in the presence of God, meditating on God, and let God speak to you. Because you know what? When rapture morning comes, that's where it's going to be. It ain't going to be called Brother Tony. Brother Tony, text everybody, tell them rapture's fixing to take place. It ain't going to happen that way. You know what's going to happen? Brother Tony's going to be walking in the Spirit. Brother Tim's going to be walking in the Spirit on their own walk. They'll be walking, doing their everyday life. And all of a sudden, a quickening power will come, and something on the inside will transform, and they'll be changed, saints of God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I feel like I can step over right now. But that's when it's going to come, is walking in the Spirit every day. Mothers and fathers getting sincere before God and say, God, help me. Help me to have a compassion to do the will of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know what, saints of God? I want more of it. Help me, God. Help me, because I know this flesh. It gets tired. It gets weird, and sometimes I'd rather just go home, take a shower, and go to bed. But saints of God, press on and get on your knees and say, God, help me. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit's willing, God. I want to submit to you.
Amen.
And God will move in your life. But you know what? That's where it comes, saints of God, is when we put the Word back in its place in our home. It'll bring joy. It'll bring revival. You want to see God answer your prayers? It starts right there.
Right.
Repent. Get those things out of the way and say, God, forgive me. And make it right. And you get back in line and you start walking in beat with the gospel. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. You repent and get back in line.
That's right. Yeah.
And see if God don't bring you back.
That's right.
You know what? We can have victory in this church. Amen. And we're going to have victory in this church.
Amen.
You know why I'm going to have that? Because I'm going to pray. How about you?
Amen.
I'm going to pray and we're going to have victory. You know, Satan's having his little revival saying, you know what, I've got these young ones, I've got that young one, I've got that one. I say, I've got a promise.
That's right.
I've got a promise in the Word. Before the foundation of the world, His name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm standing on it.
Amen.
And when you stand on that, when the devil comes at you, not by might, not by power of Satan, but by the Spirit of God, you're defeated.
Amen.
Saints of God, I feel good this morning. You know what? I feel like God is fixing to do something like we ain't never seen.
Amen.
We've been talking about the rapture for a long time. Oh my goodness, I can smell it. I can smell it, saints of God, and it smells good.
Amen.
But you know what? While I'm here, we sing a song, Until Then, we got a work to do, saints of God.
That's right.
We have got a work to do while we're here. So let's do it.
Amen.
Just want to show you, I didn't mean to go through all that right there. Just skip on over the next one. You know, one of the greatest things in the world for a believer is the power of stimulation. And what I mean by the power of stimulation is I could have a little boy here, and I could tickle his feet, and he'll laugh. Now, laughing's a good thing, but what is it that made him laugh? As I tickled his foot, and he responded to that. I want to be so sensitive, saints of God, that when God tickles my foot, I don't care if it's my arm, I don't care if it's the end of my finger, I want to laugh.
Right.
I want to be instant. I want to be ready to react to God because I'm so sensitive to the presence of God.
Amen.
That way, whenever God can move me, I want to go, when I go to a place where I'm walking and I'm ready for the move of God in my life. You say, but I'm not a minister. Are you a son or daughter of God?
Amen.
That's all you need.
Yes.
Because when you can walk with that, saints of God, and have the Word over you, I want to get right back to that. When you can have the Word over your home, and you hold that token over your home, saints of God, it's a promise. And you know what? I'm going to show you something. My children had a family member here real back. Come to one of my kids. And I noticed that they didn't want to go over there anymore to his house. And they finally told me. They said, Daddy, we don't want to go there no more because they're telling us that we don't have to. We can watch whatever we want when we go there. We can do things we want when we go there. We don't have to follow your rules when we go there. He said, we don't want to do that. I say, amen. You know what that is, saints of God? Building their immune system.
Amen.
Because you let them go. Let them go and you pray. Have faith in God. God keep them. And then when they're back home, you give them the meat and the beans and potatoes. You show them what's right. And when they say, Daddy, why do we do this? Why don't we do this? You say, it is the Lord's Passover.
That's right.
Amen. Because when you do that, saints of God, you're not trusting in yourself because you'll fail. But if you say, God, all I've got is your mercy and your promise. And you hold to that and see if God don't honor it.
Amen.
I tell you what, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Knowing that I don't have to be there every time. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm Daddy. And I've got a backbone to do the best I can anyhow. But you know what? I trust in God. And you know what? We have a lot of things going against our young people. But listen to me, parents. We have a token. We have got a token. And we demonstrate it right. Come on, tell you something. This message can bind you so bad if it's used wrong.
That's right.
It can bind you so bad you can't breathe. You can't walk. You can't be happy. They can give you a quote or anything if they want to. I can take the Bible. And I can quote it in such a way, I can bind you so bad you'd be the most miserable person in the world.
That's right.
But I can take the exact same Bible and the exact same message and show you you've got liberty. Because I do all I want. I drink all I want. I go out and fight all I want. I do all those things I want. But guess what? I don't want to.
That's it.
And when the want to is gone, it sure makes it a whole lot easier.
That's right.
I used to love sharpening knives. And I had an old rocking chair. It was my grandma's. And I'd sit in that rocking chair for hours, spit stone. And anybody know what a spit stone is? Now they got that quick stuff. Now you just three swipe and it's sharp. That's for wimps. Give me the stone. I'd sit there on that stone, saints of God, have a knife. And I'd get that little wet stone. I'd sharpen that dude up. I'm telling you what, it'd be razor sharp. And my wife used to get at me because I'd shave the different places to make sure it's sharp enough. That was my gauge, you know. If it shaved 4 or 5 hairs, that ain't near enough. Like, okay, we go back to work. I want it to shave. But I would sit there with that stone, and I'd sharpen my knife up. But you know what? There was nothing wrong with that knife. There was nothing wrong with that stone. But if you approach it the wrong way, did you know you can absolutely destroy that blade?
Yeah.
A perfectly good knife, a perfectly good stone, but you didn't approach it right. But if you approach that blade to that stone exactly right, you'll make that dude just as razor sharp as can be. You know, in I believe it's St. Matthew 16th chapter, Jesus asked the disciples, who do they say that I am? He said, some say that were Elijah, Jonas, or one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, for Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, from this rock who you built the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What he was showing there is that stone is a revelation. So you can take the word of God, and you can take the message, the stone, the revelation that's been given to us today. And you can take the word of God with it and you can absolutely destroy it if you don't approach it right. But you can take the same word, the same message, and approach it correctly, and you'll cause that word to cut deeper inside you than you've ever seen. You'll be able to search inside yourself and see who you are. You'll be able to cut past all the unbelief, all these different things, and see exactly who you are the way God sees you. If I was to give you all a piece of a board right now and say, I don't want you looking at your neighbor. I want you to draw me a picture of you. I wonder what kind of pictures I get. Would you draw all your beauty? Or would you bring out every little mistake in your life? Would you bring out every flaw that you have? See, because if you look at your mistakes and you walk towards those things, you'll begin to look just like it. You begin to draw yourself as being ugly or being fat or whatever it may be. You begin looking at that and you'll start believing, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm there's nothing to me. You'll look exactly like that. And you know what? That's what Satan would love for you to do. Let's see if you can look at yourself and say, I am the bride of Jesus Christ. I am God's bride. You look at the right thing, sense of God, you can live a new life. Same person, We live in a world today where people have what's called insecurity. And what I mean by insecurity, perfect example. I try to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I try to lift weights when I can. Got a good friend of mine. He really battles insecurity. And I can mention what I lift, and he'll go out and broadcast it to everybody that he did it, but 10 pounds more. How many knows what I'm talking about? You can say, I cooked a cherry pie, and it brought 8 points. I cooked a cherry pie, and it brought 10 points. I got this in somebody else's store just a little bit longer. You know, no matter if you caught and I'm just going to use it, not because of that, but I'm going to use it as a perfect example because it's just great. Brother Jim can say, I caught a 20-pound striper. I could come to church and say, I caught a 21-pound. Come on, thanks to God, you know what I'm talking about. You've got to compete with one another.
Right.
And I'm just going to confess. Confession is good for a soul. When he did that, I made a joke toward him. I said, "Brother, Photoshop sure does miracles nowadays." I was just razzing on him because he's a good fisherman. I'm telling you something. That boy can fish. But you know what? What real living is when you can make that other person feel better. When you can make that other person feel
like they are the good fisherman.
They're the good cook. They're the good weightlifter. Because you can make that person feel good. And you know what? Let me show you something, saints. I was driving down the road the other day. God spoke this just as clear as can be. The burden of the heart that will bring you closer to God is whenever you are walking for your love for one another. Well, what I mean is whenever I have a love for you and I have a sincere devotion because I know you're struggling with something. And I can live through my life throughout my day and I can say, God, help that sister. Help that brother. I'll be going through my day. God, help that brother. Help. You know what? At the same time, I'm making her stronger and him stronger. I'm making myself stronger. Because the body is working together. And saints of God, that's where real living comes from, is when we're living for one another.
Amen.
Live for one another, saints of God, where you have a love and a compassion for them. And you know what? I want to see them succeed. I want to see Sister Amy succeed. I want to see her walk in the Spirit. I want her to walk in these things. And I can be strong for her. She can be strong for me. But you know what? There's sometimes young people listen to me. You do not have to be some older person to get God to move in your life.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a testimony about my boy Elijah. Daddy was in the dumps one day and I felt so terrible. Just the shield gets heavy, the sword gets heavy, and just like it's hard to get through daily struggles. One day I was sitting on my couch and I was just sitting there just really tired. My boy Elijah came up here and he sat by Daddy and he said, Daddy, we have a Bible study tonight. Yes, we are. All of a sudden, the sword goes up, the shield goes up, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to talk. Let's go, boys. Encourage your mommy and daddy to serve God. Encourage them. Say, Daddy, I know the sword gets heavy. I know the shield gets heavy. But Daddy, I want you to know I appreciate all that you do. And you see what Daddy's shoulders are going back. Now, I've shared my testimony before. I'm going to go ahead and share it again because it's worth telling. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the reward of your testimony. Is that right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going through a weary time during that time, or a few years ago. And I went inside and I was just, it felt like just the gust of wind could have knocked me over. And sitting at the table, and my wife had supper cooked, and my kid said, Daddy, you sure work hard. Yeah, I do kind of work hard. And Hannah speaks up and says, Daddy, nobody works as hard as you. That's right. Nobody works hard as me. And my wife said, Baby, nobody works hard as you. That's right. Before too long, my chest was out. I was bulletproof. I was ready to fight the world. But you know where that come from? Words. They used words, saints of God, and made me feel like a son of God.
That's right.
So listen to me, young people. You have a partner. You know what? I remember the other day I was working. And God has blessed me with my shop. It's been very good. This business has been great. And this boy there, they told me, they said, you're probably going to have to fire him when you get there. He said, because he don't do a very good job at all. So he's real lazy. And all that. I said, well, I don't fire him. I said, let me just work with him a little while. I'm going to tell you something, that will work. And he came to the office the other day. We were getting ready to close. I was closing the drawer down. We were talking about everything we'd done that day. And he's 25 years old. Had tears in his eyes. come around the deal there and put his hand on the glass door. I was sitting there, had a glass slide door there, a little bitty room. He said, Daniel, big old beard on his face. He said, I don't know how to tell you this. He said, and tears went down his cheeks. He said, since you've been working here, he said, I've been able to pray. He said, last night I prayed in the shower. He said, I prayed all the way through. He said, man, I felt so good. He said, you have changed my life, Daniel. The bride of Christ will do this, saints of God.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, you've changed my life being here. He said, I want to work. He said, but I ain't gonna, he said, I felt like quitting. He said, I didn't want to work here. He said, I want to do my job now. He said, because the way you do it. And I said, well, good. That's good. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'll be praying for you, buddy. Well, he's taking off the next day, and the previous manager that was over him before is going to work with me. So he comes there with me, and that's, this other guy is really the problem. So this new manager's there, and I'm got his old chop. We're working there, and he's going there, and I'm doing my job. And I go into the office to sit down, and he goes up. He said, Daniel, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, be fine. And this man, he said, Daniel, he said, how do you do it? I said, well, how do I do what? He said, man, Brandon is a changed person. He said, he's black and white. He said, there's no comparison. He said, he works, he does all these things. How do you do it? I said, I'll tell you how you do it. You treat him with respect. You respect. And saints of God, listen to me. Respect goes a long ways.
Yeah.
You're going to go tear down what another man thinks about something, you ain't going to gain nothing from it. But if you go with him with respect, and say, you know what? I may not agree with what you got, but I respect you. He'll respect you more, and he'll listen to you. He said, well, I want to know how you go about doing it. I said, number one thing is prayer. I said, the number two thing is respect. You respect them, they will respect you. I'm going to show you something. I said, you know what? I said, a mechanic thinks he's got to have a lot of tools to be a mechanic. You don't have to have a lot of tools. You just have to know how to work with what you've got. And that's what kills a lot of mechanics. I'm getting some of this. You just follow me. This is what kills a lot of mechanics a lot of times. They'll get out of college. They'll get their degree for college to be a mechanic. And they'll go spend $10,000 on a bunch of tools. And they'll have a toolbox, a $5,000 toolbox, and $10,000 worth of tools inside there, and no work to do.
That's right.
And then they're so in debt, they end up amounting to absolutely nothing. But you know what? That same mechanic will just take the two or three tools he's got and work them as effective as he can. God will bless that. And he can get more tools. I said, that's the same thing with man. You think you got to have a lot of employees, it ain't about that. Treat the ones you've got with respect and see if God don't bless them. Saints of God, you're management. You are managers. You are stewards over God and God's giving you. You're steward over God's finances. You're steward over God's time. You're steward over God's house. You're steward over God's electric bill. You're steward over everything God's got. And you say, well, if I had more money, I could do this. If you'd manage what you've got, God would bless it. Saints of God, that's where the blessing comes from, is whenever you can work it with God's blessing. Listen to me now.
Yes.
When we can hold on to what we've got in this message with good stewardship, with what God's given us, God will bless us with what we have, if we'll walk in what we've got. You say, I'm in that. Are you? How much do you pray before you go to bed, saints of God?
Right.
Are you? How much do you pray during your break time at work, saints of God? How many times are you picking up your Bible during the week and saying, God, speak to me through this word and help me to grow, Lord? How many times, saints of God? Be honest with me. Be honest with God. You say, but I'm doing those things, but are you? Saints of God, if we'll get desperate before God, God will manifest Himself. I was doing a study here a while back about success, and the young man went to the old man. He said, I want you to teach me success. And the old man said, come to my house early in the morning. I'm going to teach you success. And the young man goes there early in the morning, and the old man says, come with me, son. Takes him out to waist-deep water. He takes the young man and puts his head under the water and just holds him. Bubbles coming out, and the man's about to die of breath. He's fighting, trying to get out, and he finally lets him out. He said, now, what were you thinking about when I brought you out here? He said, success. He says, what were you thinking about just before I brought you out of the water? He said, life. He said, that's where it's got to be. When all you think about is life, you'll get it. Saints of God, you want life this morning? If you'll focus just on that and say, God, I don't care about this, I don't care about that, I want life. I want the Spirit of God in my life. And get desperate before God and walk circumspectly before the Lord exactly like that and see if God don't want it.
Amen.
Kind of got on a long rabbit trail, but we'll get back on it.
Brother Brim said, now only believers, only the elect comes into that, that God has chose you. I believe in Revelation 2 said, he that overcometh, so it's promised to overcomers. You said, I'll overcome smoking. That ain't what he's talking about. There's a whole lot more goes to Christianity besides not smoking cigarettes or drinking whiskey. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and he will be my son. I will be his God, and I will give him of the hidden manna. Now listen to me, Sancho. This is where I want to get to. I will hide him away, and I will give him the hidden things the world on the outside of the curtain don't know nothing about. Hallelujah. Though they eat manna, but they don't know about this. I will give to him the hidden manna. I will give him a stone with his name on it. You get what I mean? Entering into that adoption or the hidden place with God. Ministers of the gospel don't care about your denominations or what the world thinks, but seek to enter into that hidden manna where the full revelation of God is made perfect in your heart and you and God and everything else is at rest. Let everything come and that may come or that may, you're hidden away. What a place to live. Oh, just abide there. As the song said, let me rest neath the tree where the water freely froze. Brother Brown was talking about a hidden manna, saints of God. And we've all got quotes. Some of the most dangerous people in the world today is a man that knows about the message. You know why? He knows just enough to not listen to anybody. But not enough to really know the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Brother Brenham is talking about a hidden manna that can be given to you. But see, a lot of times what keeps us from that hidden manna, saints of God, is we're not walking in what we've got. And we're allowing the little things to get in our way. I'm going to read one last, this is the last quote I want to bring. Sure, they eat the manna out there. They didn't know about this. They'd never been there. Have you, dear brother? Now listen to me real closely. Don't despise my ignorance, but I want to ask you something. Have you ever come to the place in life where Christ meant more to you than all the arguing you could do about your church? Has Christ meant more to you than all the world? I don't mean for an emotion or a mental workup. I mean from the depths of your heart. And that's something settled in there. That's something taking place and you don't know how it come, but you're hid away. And your whole motive is to serve Jesus Christ. Have you entered into that place, my dear brother? Have you come into a place where you don't care what anyone else says? Not to go out and act smart? Till the love of God is so anchored into you that you can't see nothing else. Your whole motive is to do the will of God. Love for everybody, flowing free from everywhere. What a place to live. That's the hidden place. That's the place where we got to come to, my brethren. That's the place where God reveals His secret things. That's the place where God does the placing and the calling. Do you see what I mean? Have you come to that place, saints of God, where somebody can talk bad about our church? Somebody can talk bad about what we believe, and it don't even affect us, as far as bitterness. But I love that person. Because saints of God, that's where it's at, is when you have love for people. When you have a genuine compassion about them. Do you know what? As Brother Josh had said, I believe he said this quote. Said he'd rather see somebody with the wrong doctrine, with the right doctrine with the wrong doctrine with the right attitude, than to have the right doctrine with the wrong attitude.
Right. Right.
Saints of God, your attitude is speaking so much to your family. You said, but Brother Daniel, I'm going through struggles. I'm going through battles. So am I. You said, but Brother Daniel, sometimes I don't even feel like smiling. Me too, sometimes. But you know what? I'm struggling with this. You want to talk to me about my struggles? I probably won't tell you what some of them are, but I'll tell you some of them. You said, what do you mean by that, Brother Daniel? I'm going to tell you something I learned as a young Christian. If you've got certain battles that you're fighting, you better watch what you tell about it.
because they'll take that same thing and smear it in your face. And rather than being a brother or a sister in the Lord to help you out, they'll use it to tear you down every chance they get. It's not them, it's the Spirit of God. So when you go to confess your fault to one another, make sure it's somebody you've got confidence in. Make sure it's somebody that's got the Spirit of Christ on. Because you know what? There is a constructive criticism.
Amen.
And constructive criticism is something that's going to criticize you, but it's to help you get better. Not tear you down and leave you in the dumps. And remember that, saints of God, whenever God lays it on your heart to minister to somebody and say, you know what, I see a brother or sister in here. Remember, when you do that, do it in the right spirit, saints of God, or don't do it at all. Because
right.
If you don't do it in the right spirit, you ain't helping nobody.
That's right.
You will leave condemned in your heart because you know you've grieved the Holy Spirit. They'll walk away grieved in their heart because they've been torn down by their precious brother or sister. And nobody wins in that, saints of God. Constructive criticism. Criticism is real good. It's real good. As I said, I go to work out. I go 5 in the morning, ain't nobody there, just me and the owner. When I work out in the mornings, I'll be doing my lift, and maybe my arm ain't exactly out where it needs to be. You'll criticize me for it. I say, oh, come on, Daniel, get your arm out there. Or I'll be starting to push and say, come on, Daniel, push a little harder. Good constructive criticism. And I'll begin to push up there, and there you go, Daniel, come on, man, come on, come on. Do you know what I'm going to do whenever he's over there pushing? I'll, come on, what do you think you're doing here? I'm a little bit more hard on him than me. I'm bigger than he is. But you know what? When I do that, I ain't doing that to tear him down. I want him to be better. I want him to be stronger. Because you know what? I don't want to see him going through the motions and not gaining nothing. Saints of God, it's the same thing for you. I do not want to see you going through the motions and not succeeding. If I don't see you praising God the way you ought to, I'm going to bust your hide. Come on, praise the Lord, saints of God. If I don't see you get pressing hard, I'm going to be hard on you. You might say, Brother Daniel, he hates me. No, Brother Daniel loves you. That's the reason I'm doing it. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stop right here and say, pray for this man. Because you know what? Sometimes he'll have to preach things that absolutely hurt. And you'll think, he goes off like a big shot. No. I'll tell you what goes on. His wife can tell you what goes on. When he goes on his home, his heart is so heavy. Because he's saying, God, I didn't want to have to say those things, but I love you and I love your people. And saints of God, it would be so heavy packing that cross. You know what? That's our time to pray for this man and say, God, help our brother.
Yes.
You know what? Paul said, pray for me that I'm able to know what's preached and know how to preach it that you can understand what I'm saying. Right. Do you know the Bible says that? Yeah. Meet with me sometime and I'll show you it does. He says, pray for me that I'll know what I ought to speak and help me to speak it in the way that they'll understand what I'm saying. That means we have a commandment to pray for our ministry. And say, God, help my ministry speak what I've got to hear. But you know what happens a lot of times? People go to church, sit on their hands, they don't worship God, they don't do nothing. But then whenever they preach, they'll leave and say, I didn't get a thing from that service. He didn't preach nothing at all. What did you put in the service? What prayers did you put in the service? Did you put your shoulder against the wheel whereas you're sitting on the wagon where everybody else pushed it? Come on, saints of God. Push on the wheel whenever we all get in this thing, we all work together, you pray for him and say, God, ask him to speak to him and don't let him sleep. I'd rather see that brother have to look 2 feet in his eyeballs trying to stay awake but have the presence of God than to see him rested on a fleet of Cadillacs. Now, you know me about both of them. He ain't got no fleet of Cadillacs. And right now he's looking kind of tired. I'm going to be praying, brother. But you know what? It is a body thing, saints of God. It's a body thing where we all work together as a church. You know what? And I make this, oh, it's not a mistake. It's like I said, constructive criticism. I remember when I was in Fort Smith one time, I said, if you ever see me out of line, pull me to the side and straighten me out. I have never in my life been pulled to the side more times in 1 week than you've ever seen. I tell you what, your hair ain't cut just right, this ain't right, that ain't right. My Lord, sir. Thank you, Jesus. But I tell you, you ever see me out of line, pull me to the side and help me. Don't leave me, but I'm going to ask you this. Don't leave me in the dirt either.
Yeah, right.
Pick me back up and help me back to the fold. Because I'm telling you, God's leading you. He'll teach you to do it in the right spirit, the right attitude, and everybody will benefit from it. Every both people will walk in the Spirit and be back in the meeting of the gospel. Because you know as well as I do, the Lord can't speak to you to speak to somebody's heart. Before you do it, saints of God, pray about it. And ask God to help you do it the right way. I just keep getting myself deeper, don't I?
Tell my wife to go ahead and start the band up. I'll be out there in just a minute.
that's kind of one thing that an evangelist has when he goes to another church. He can preach it, he can blast it. I mean, feel just fire and brimstone if it were, you know, which I would never do that. I do it in love, you know. But he can leave and he ain't gonna see those people until next time he goes to church. Well, here, I'll see you next week. I tell you what, saints, God, I love you. Depths of my heart, I love you. And I want you to know I pray for you. Every week I'm seeking God for you. I'm seeking God to help you to walk in the Spirit, walk in the power of His love. And I know the devil will make you think you're fighting it alone a lot of times, but you ain't. You ain't fighting. You'll overcome by the Word of God and by the Word of your testimony. And I'm gonna make you work this morning. How many in here has been healed in your body? Raise your hand. I'm going to make you work. I want you to say, I have been healed.
Who's been healed?
Speak up.
I've been healed.
There we go. Come on now.
I've been healed.
There you go.
I've been healed.
How many of you here has been delivered?
I've been delivered.
Amen. There we go. I like that. How many loves God?
Amen.
There we go. That's a little bit better. We ain't there yet. Now, who wants a revival in the church?
Come on.
Amen. You say, well, Daniel, that's a bunch of nonsense, but it feels good, don't it?
Yeah.
You know what? If we can go to a game, watch people out there, and we ought to go come in here and worship God.
Amen.
I went to my boys' graduation, Malachi. I felt sorry for a lot of them kids. They'd go up there to get their graduation, and you might hear a, woo, yo, that's my boy. I'll tell you something, I had a video camera in one end. Daddy was feeling pretty good. He said, Malachi Black coming up. I was like, woo! Go Elijah! That's my boy! Yeah! Hallelujah! Everyone, what was this guy? But after that, you know what happened? Somebody else comes and says, woo! That's my boy! I inspire people to get excited. You know what? I'm excited because I see my boy excelling. I see him growing. And I want to. No, I want him to know. I want the whole world to know that's my boy. And if they're going to mess with him, they're going to mess with me. And saints, God is 10 times more than that. When he sees you exceeding his promises, he sees you going in the Lord, the leaves start shaking, the wind starts blowing. I'll tell you what, saints, God, angels are shouting, saying, that's my boy. Because God is excited about you. You believe that?
Amen.
You say, that's nonsense, though.
Yeah.
I'm just crazy, I guess. But you know what? I happen to think God cares about us that much.
Amen.
I don't happen to think God cares about you so much, He'll give you a 20-pound striper just to show you. You say, that's crazy. I believe it's the truth. Because you know what? That meant more to that man than anything. Been out there fishing, because that's his time for God. He could throw it out there and God will bless him with a big fish. That's just God's small way of saying, that's my boy.
Amen.
Expect God to bless you. Expect God to do good things. Because I tell you what, I bless my boys. And sometimes I have to really watch. I'm closing now. I have to really watch it because, you know, I tell my boys, ask me, ask abundantly. If Daddy can do it, I'll do it. Well, Malachi lost another tooth the other day. He said, I want $20. $20? Come on, son. In the natural, that's crazy. But in the spiritual sense, God, ask abundantly.
Yeah.
You got a need for God? Ask Him. Say, God, I need this. I have got needs. And you start expecting God to give it. See if God don't give it.
Amen.
God cares. Sometimes we get afraid to ask because, you know what, I shouldn't ask for that. I shouldn't ask that, you know what, we never can afford to go out to eat. I shouldn't ask for God to provide my needs so I can take my family out to dinner. That's Tommy Rock, saints of God. If you want to take your family out to eat and say, you know what, I'm just struggling, I can't quite meet the ends meet. First of all, make things right with God. Make sure things are right in your stewardship with God. If those things are right, ask God and see, God, I ask you to help me be able to provide the needs so I can take my family after a good dinner. You say, God, don't meet that need. You say, God, don't do that. He's already done it many times in my life. Many times in my life. But I'm going to show you something right before I close. You know what? Sometimes we'll have a need, but we'll want God to do it a certain way. And we'll say, God's going to provide it this way.
I would like God for you to send someone, bring me $10,000. Just give me a check. God might do it. I won't say He won't. If I'd say, your chances are probably pretty slim.
Thank God.
But if you'll say, God, provide my needs. God does not give you a way that you can work off that $10,000. And He'll give you a job maybe you don't like. You say, I don't want to do that. Well, sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. But if you'll do it and say, God, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it as faithful as I can. The best I can. Because you know as well as I do, I hate changing over. I hate it. I hate holding my fingers. But you know what? God gave me a job and I'm thanking for it. Because you know what? I get to intercede. I get to talk to saints every day to come to my shop. I got people that's left the public store coming to my store now. Praise the Lord. Ask abundantly. You want to touch people's lives? Ask abundantly. And say, God, I ask you to bring such an atmosphere around my life that everybody gets happy around me.
Amen.
Bring an atmosphere in my life, in my prayer, every day, saints of God. I pray, God, when I go to my store, when I step foot out of my car, that's my domain. And I'm taking authority over this place. I'll be singing like a bird, worshiping the Lord. I'll be just having a good old time. It's my store. It's my domain. Because God gave it to me.
Amen.
And it's yours where you work at. Now, some people maybe can't sing. Well, Tim, I know they'll go with this or this, singing and skipping. I don't know what his atmosphere is there. But it's your domain. And you can take control over it. Don't tell me you can't.
Yeah.
They told me before I come, they said, this man, he said, I'm telling you, he's going to buck against you all the way. I have Bible study now. Come on, thanks to God.
Amen.
Tell me God can't move. I'm going to ask musicians to go ahead and come forward. I'm going to keep rattling on, though. 3 o'clock. I told the boys we're going to go fishing this afternoon. I'm going to read one final quote before we leave. I want you to think about this when I read this to you, okay? It's from Enticing Spirits. It says, that's right. Because you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. And the only way to be led by the Spirit of God is keep still and not know a whole lot. Oh, you think, I know a whole lot. Yeah, you get your brain all worked up and it can't even work itself. You know all the book and all the answers and all the Greeks and all the Hebrew and ain't got no place for the dove to roost. That's right. But you know it all there. The dove can't lead you because you know too much. Is that possible? The lamb don't claim to know nothing. It's got to have somebody else to lead it. Glory. That's it. Don't know nothing. Amen. The only thing I know is Christ died for me to save me. Saints of God, let's go with that approach before God and see if God don't change the way our days are turning out. Who in here this morning, you say, you know what, Brother Daniel? I want another dip of the Holy Ghost this week. Why don't you just raise your hand?
Amen.
So you know what? I want that. Brother Jim sung one of my favorite songs. I'm going to fill my way every day with love. Glad he did, because I'm going to sing it again if he didn't. Saints of God, I'm going to pray with you right now. I'm going to ask my pastor, Brother Tony, to come up. We're going to pray together. And we're going to pray for you that God can move in your life. And you say, and I want to clear this up. Okay, Satan tries to smudge your brain with something because it's a lie. He is. Say, Brother Daniel's trying to brag because of God moving on. That ain't right at all, saints of God. I can only see through my eyeballs. I can't see through yours. And I can tell firsthand what God's doing in my life. And that's why I testify about it.
Amen.
It ain't to be arrogant. It ain't to be nothing like that. Because you know as well as I do, there ain't much to me. I'm just someone that's been saved by grace and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. So I want to clear that up right now. Don't let the devil bombard your mind with those things. That's for Brother Tony to come forth. I want you to stand up, saints of God.
So I'm casting all my cares on you. I know you love me. Redemption by blood. That's the greatest of stories. For restoration. The seventh angel and her cloud testify. Our need.
Next to you, saints of God. And I want you to pray fervently for one another, saints of God. Because I want to see God move in you. I want to see God move in this church. I want you to know that we can be in unity, saints of God, and stand together. We run this race because I care about what you're going through. And I love you, saints of God. Let's pray together. Pray for one another. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, this morning, Lord. And Father, I love these saints of God, Lord. Lord, I want you to move in their lives. Lord, move in this church, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you, Lord, bring a revival into our hearts, God. Help us, Lord, to put the word in the right place in our home, God. Help us to put it in the right place in our heart, Father, where you are leading, Father. You are guiding, Lord. We don't know nothing, God. All we know is you've saved us from a sinful life, oh God. Lord, and I'm so thankful for it this morning, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for your cleansing power, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, search our heart this morning, Lord. Father, I ask you to heal the feeble, Lord Jesus. Lord, bring back the backslidden, oh God. Lord, I ask you to bring a revival to us, Lord Jesus. Bring a love into our hearts, Lord, a sincere devotion back into our homes, oh God. Lord, in the church, oh God. Lord, I commit it to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I love you, Lord. I ask you to manifest yourself among us, Lord. Break every chain that fetters, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So I'm casting all my cares on you. I know you love me. Redemption, my blood. That's the greatest of stories. Oh, restoration, oh, redemption. That's what the seventh angel and the cloud testify. Our demons no longer dead, he's risen, and he's coming back for you and me. So I'm casting all my cares on you. I know you love me. Redemption by blood, that's the greatest of sorrows.
Enjoyed the service this morning.
Amen.
You know, we still live in an environment called Laodicea, the world's Laodicea. And I think it'd be good right now to ask Brother Daniel's speaking this morning, what he spoke on his heart, that we would stop and ponder on what it means to be living in Laodicea. And I don't mean that you're bound to it, but the effects that it can have on you. You know, because they talks about it being a people that were blind, miserable, poor, wretched, naked, and didn't know. And I don't believe that you are that condition. But the one thing that I do want to point out is it was speaking of a people that was lukewarm. And that meant a people that was religious, a people that knew a little bit about God, but weren't really on fire. And so just on the tail end of what Brother Daniel has said, I'll ask you the same, maybe the same question he did, but are we really walking in victory? And I think we should really ponder on that. Because I do believe, I'm not a date setter, but I do believe this being our Jubilee year from the opening of the seals, I mentioned that a few weeks ago, and it is. This is our Jubilee year, and in God's economy, that means that at this particular time, if you can believe it, saints, if you can believe it, and all the benefits that you read about under Jubilee in the Bible, you can have that in your life right now with you and your family, if you can believe it. And I don't believe that we're talking about another people to come. I believe we are that people that can walk in the victory that Brother Daniel was speaking in this morning. And attitude is, it really is still altitude. How many's heard that phrase before? Attitude is altitude. It makes all the difference in the world. I believe that Brother Daniel, he's good at it. He's got a good attitude. I told the brothers out there in Carolina, they asked about him. I said, Brother Daniel's got enough zeal for about three or four people. See? But I believe Brother Daniel, just about if there was anybody that could do it, he could probably bring us a box of rattlesnakes and somehow make us like it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, with that much positive attitude. And so that's what I'm saying is that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And so I say, are we really walking in victory? And I want you, you don't have to answer it, but I want you to be honest to yourself, honest to God, and say, am I really walking in victory? Do I really have the joy of the Lord in my heart? And if you have to say, you know what, I don't have as much joy in my heart as I'd like to have, then I want you to be serious and begin to examine and say, Lord, what do I need to do? What's in the way? What's going on here? Because you have promised, Lord, that I can have the joy of the Lord. And with that comes the strength of the Lord. And so, you know, Brother Daniel's, you know, he says, well, sometimes him being in an evangelistic mode, you know, it's kind of rough, but I'll remind you of Brother Brown talking about the boxing, being a boxer in the training, and how that his trainer was so rough to him. And he would just work Brother Brown over. And Brother Bram asked him, well, why do you have to be so rough in this training? And the man said, well, when you get in the ring, you'll thank me for this. And I'm saying that because I want to ask you something, saints. I don't know exactly how to say it, but if you want God to train us, don't you think God will have to give you constructive criticism? Amen. Don't you think that he would have to make it tough on you? Listen, I know as a minister, Brother Daniels, God don't make it easy. Because if he don't make it hard for us to walk this walk, if he just sits back and doesn't do anything about it, what do you think Satan's going to do?
Right.
Satan's going to make it hard on us,
right?
Our enemy, when we get in the ring with him this week, he'll make it hard on us. So God has to do that first. Right? God has to do that first by the word, the correction of the word. And that's his program. And so we should say, thank you, Lord, and let's not let the constraints of Laodicea rob us from what we've heard today and the potential of what that can do in our lives. If we'll just stop and let it soak in and be honest with ourselves and say, Lord, I want to change things. That's been my prayer this week. God, change me. Change me, because I know that there is a need to meet out there that hasn't been met yet, and I know that he's got to come down and live in me in a greater way to do that. And that's the way it has to be for all of us. And so I just thank the Lord has really delivered us a good word this morning. And I appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Daniel. He had a lot of enthusiasm and knew that the Lord was going to speak today. And, you know, my thoughts, your thoughts, they need to go out and let God's thoughts come in. It's about that way in our walk. It's our way. It's in our families. And it's that way in the entire bride of Jesus Christ. Because God's ways are different than our ways. His ways are much higher than ours. And so we thank the Lord this morning for his mercy upon us. And we want to get back to the Word. I'm not saying we weren't in it, but we can always have a higher level of returning back to the things of God. So that we can have that ark of God being carried just the way it should be in our hearts, not in our heads. Right? I know you know your brain, you know, your memory and stuff is up there in gray matter or whatever, but it goes beyond that. And the Word of God's got to be in our heart, not just head knowledge, but heart revelation is what it must be. And that will get us through times whenever our head can't even comprehend the things that is going on. Amen. So we just thank the Lord for His blessings. We'll close in prayer in just a minute, but just to remind you again, Thursday night, midweek service, 7 o'clock. And you come. If I didn't want you to be coming to the house of God, I wouldn't have started having services here. If I didn't think God would bless you and I didn't think that the Lord cared about you, I wouldn't be doing it. And so I realize some of you can't make it. It's a long distance and all the things there. But you come. And God will always meet your needs. God will always speak to you if you come with the right attitude. And it's not just cliches to say, well, you know, we need, like Brother Daniel said, we need to be praying for the ministry and praying for the church and supporting. That's not just a cliche. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And I have found in just what my few years of life with the Lord, I found that you will not circumvent God's perfect way. Avoid it, but He'll bring you back to it sometime later on and show you that you've got to go with God's way. And He says to support one another in prayer, pray always. That's what we've got to do. And let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings this morning upon us. Lord, I believe it was a genuine word, Lord, that come from a genuine heart that wants to serve You. And Lord, that You just are in the midst of Your people, especially in this church, Lord. God, that You have a place You want to take us to in the Spirit, Lord. You have something You want to accomplish in this little assembly, Lord. And I know, God, as Your prophet has said, that we should have the attitude that if there's one person going in the rapture, Lord, it be me. And Lord, we should believe that if there's one church in all the world that You're going to move through and You're going to work through and You're going to touch lives through, Lord, that'll be this little assembly right here. We thank You, Lord, for being mindful of us here in this little town. Lord, mindful of our feeble efforts. We thank You for just coming down and just speaking to our hearts today. We ask God You just take this week that's before us. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit be so present in it. And let the blessings of God be rich upon Your people as they go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.